And good afternoon, and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet, and I am here in the studio with Laron Landis. Our little elf, Patty Fink, is away for the holidays. She'll be back with us. She's going to be away for New Year's, too, right?
I'm not for sure, to be honest with you.
Oh, okay. Okay. We think she'll be back. We're sure she'll be back next week or the week after. How's that?
There you go.
Did you have a nice Christmas?
I did.
Good. Well, you can find us on Facebook, download podcasts of the show at lambdaweekly.com. And our guest today is David Guy Gaynor from the Service Members Legal Defense Network, and he just returned from the White House signing ceremony for the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, whatever the thing that was called.
I forget the name of it.
Yeah, it's gone. Forget about it. He was at the signing ceremony this week at the White House, although we were watching on, was it C-SPAN or CNN or something that came over the computer, and we didn't see you because there were how many hundred people there, Dave?
500.
500 people there, wow.
But if you go to whitehouse.gov, they stop with me in the frame. I downloaded that, and I'm keeping it, and it's available for rent if you like.
Ah.
Okay.
Well, we'll check it out. Get it from the library. Get it free there. You know, when you told us that you were on your way up there, my first question was, how does an invitation from the White House for something going on in 2 days, how does that even arrive? I mean, a state dinner, you get an engraved invitation, and it's, you know, how did your invitation even arrive?
Well, the White House today is in touch with America, and I got an email from them on my iPhone. So
they do deliver messages besides horse and carriage.
So it's a good thing you checked your email that day.
That evening. I checked it Monday evening around, I guess, 7 o'clock, and the email arrived, and off I went on Tuesday morning.
First class, I understand.
No other way, not for this celebration. Of course, I would have walked if I had to.
So you got your email invitation, you got up there, you just made instant arrangements, said, hey, I'm taking tomorrow off, the White House needs me.
Well, yeah, my boss is my husband.
So he gave you the time off then, and he's here with us too. So you just took the time off, you went up there, how long were you up there?
I flew up Tuesday morning and came back Wednesday evening.
Okay, now the obvious question is, okay, so what was this week like for you? This month, you've been working on getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell since it was signed?
No, I've been engaged for 10 years.
Is that all?
Yeah, that's all.
That's it, okay.
It's one big long year as far as I'm concerned. Don't Ask, Don't Tell existed for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really ticket ride. Over the last, I'd say, 3 months, but especially in the last week of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, when the standalone bill was introduced in the House. From that point forward, it was quite emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But when it was signed, you were the first person I thought of.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. It's like I didn't realize he was there, but I was like, I wonder where Dave is right now.
I was standing in front of my television. In the previous votes, when the Appropriations Act failed, the cloture vote failed, I was sitting at my desk making tally marks and keeping track of numbers. And this time, I really thought it was going to pass. I didn't know it was going to pass as well, but I really thought we had the 60. I knew we had the 60 votes. So I just stood there and drank in the yays and nays, and booed and cheered.
Right.
And this year really has been a roller coaster ride on this. The House passed a repeal attached to the defense bill, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
And that defense bill never passed the Senate, or did it pass the Senate without the attachment?
A continuing resolution is passed to keep the government functioning and the military. They're still waiting for the appropriations for the budget that they have already had approved.
And that's actually where most of the budget still stands from
right.
October. None of it has
right.
been passed, particularly because everything has been filibustered.
We had to come home for Christmas.
Right. The poor senators. Who was it? Jim DeMint, who was saying how it's just not fair to his religion to make him work over Christmas. And
well, you notice that Senator Manchin from West Virginia had a planned vacation with his wife and said this is more important than staying here voting on things like the DREAM Act and Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
But he was going to vote against anyway, so goodbye, good riddance.
Well, he said he hadn't been there long enough.
Mm-hmm.
I, I probably should have brought a copy of the letter that I wrote to him. Yeah, I'm from West Virginia originally. So, and Pepe Johnson, you remember Pepe? Pepe Johnson is from West Virginia. He's living back here now. Pepe was with us at the signing. But I wrote him a pretty stern letter about you're in the Senate now, you're expected to vote. I don't think a senator has a weaning in period where they just vote no because they don't understand.
He's right. Entitled to his vacation as every senator is, but when other things come up, you are a public servant and change your vacation.
Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not like we're saying these people are not entitled to some personal time as well. However, and the problem has been that the Republicans have filibustered and blocked every single thing that has come along, and it's gotten this year to the point where nothing happened since health care reform. Just nothing has passed. So, so you've been working on this for about 10 years. Let's go back a little bit, because before the show we were talking a little bit, and even Laurent was confused about this. Don't Ask, Don't Tell replaced what? And you were in the military at that time yourself.
It replaced an absolute ban on gays and lesbians serving the military. You're asked that when you applied to enlist or applied to be an officer, you're asked right then, are you homosexual? Do you have homosexual tendencies? Have you ever? Do you think you might?
Okay, now here's what's stupid about that question. Even if it was valid, I mean, here's what's stupid about it. Most people, especially 20, 30 years ago, didn't come out at 17, 18 when they were enlisting. Most people at that time came out 18, 19, maybe 20, 21. The phenomenon of kids coming out at 14 is
That's
new.
Relatively new.
It's real new, like within the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And not only is it new, it's not the norm still. It's just that it happens now. So
David will tell you that he was looking for potential husbands or screening for potential husbands in first grade.
So and Dave's partner Dave is here also, but so was I, I guess. But
yeah, well, I mean, we knew. I mean, I knew when I was 6 or 7 years old, also, but.
Okay,
as far as admitting it.
Admitting it, and actually the question, do you have homosexual tendencies, what does that even mean? I mean, I know what it means, but how is an 18-year-old who's enlisting in the military supposed to seriously answer that question? It just seems like...
Well, yeah. But it was the barrier that they placed to keep us out. And
okay, so...
If we were discovered, then we were dishonorably discharged.
And okay, so here's my question. We're about the same age. My draft year was the year that they did away with student deferments, and they and it was before they had a lottery. So a lot of people from my freshman class in college were called for their physicals. They put in a lottery system, and they were calling you by birthday number. I had a high draft number, but I was still told that a way to get out is not to say you're gay. That you couldn't just, too many people were using that to stay out of Vietnam, and you could not just say, well, I'm gay, and therefore get out. So if you could use it, but you couldn't use it, what the hell did they really want? And I'm asking you as if, well, you're the voice of sanity and understood this policy, but had you heard that as well?
I haven't understood either policy, total exclusion or... Come on in if you lie.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's what I was confused about before the show. We were speaking about this. I knew that Don't Ask, Don't Tell replaced an outright ban on gays in the military. What I didn't realize is that it was not a dishonorable discharge. I thought it was dishonorable. So, what kind of discharges are there? Is there three of them?
Well, there's honorable, dishonorable, general, bad conduct.
Oh, okay. So there's more than I realize. Okay.
Okay, so it was going to be a dishonorable discharge if you realized at the age of 20, after you'd been drafted or after you've been in for a couple of years, if you realized that you were gay, and realizing and understanding and coming to terms with it at age 20, that's not unusual. So there were people who were dishonorably discharged because after being in the service for a year or two, that's when they first seriously understood that they were gay and they could be dishonorably discharged for understanding who they were.
Yeah. And under Don't Ask, Don't Tell, if you're discharged because of homosexuality or homosexual conduct, that is a honorable discharge?
Okay, honorable generally, but you...
If you lie real well.
Oh, okay.
But if you don't lie real well and get caught, then it's an honorable discharge. It's absurd.
Interesting. It really is.
Okay. And it's gone.
And when Clinton was talking about this being a compromise when he first signed it, the compromise was doing away with the dishonorable discharge, wasn't it? Or was there more that was compromised on?
No, his compromise, he was referring to the, I call it lying. Mm-hmm. He was referring to, it's okay to lie and come in now, and you can serve. So we'll have gays and lesbians serving.
Because they were continuing to ask?
Correct.
Don't ask.
Well, after the law, it was don't ask, but it took us a while to beat that whack-a-mole into submission.
Mm-hmm.
They were continuing to ask for a while. They were continuing to investigate without cause for a while. You remember the Hawaii 11? One individual was under investigation, and they said, we'll give you a lesser sentence if you rat out 10 other guys, and he did. And they proceeded from there.
Okay, so that's asking and pursuing, and the full name of the law was Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue.
Don't harass, don't pursue.
Oh, don't harass and don't pursue. Okay, so the don't pursue part went away immediately.
No,
not went away, but got ignored immediately.
Correct.
Now, since the law was, even if you just have the don't ask, don't tell, how many people were thrown out for doing the equally illegal thing, which was asking?
I don't have it. And I,
have there been any?
Not to my knowledge.
That's probably big fat zero.
And that was my point. Because it was equally illegal to ask.
Look at the terrible harassment that James Rocha took. James, right? The dog handler, military dog handler.
Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about him.
Navy member, forced to reside in a dog cage and perform simulated sexual acts with his superior. His superior, I don't think, was ever punished. His promotion was delayed, if not later denied, but he went on and retired. I think I would have put him in a dog cage for a while, just like he did with Rocha. But no, to my knowledge, I haven't kept track of that, and I know of none that have been punished.
of course, it is law now, but the ban has not been lifted yet. We still have to wait for the certification of what's going to be implemented. Talk a little bit about that, because I don't think a lot of people are still clear what that means, what that process is like, why come the ban is not lifted now immediately since Barack Obama did sign it.
Well, and let me first amplify your, it's not over yet. And so any service members who are considering coming out should not do it yet. Wait for us. We'll have a huge party and lots of emails when the implementation happens.
Okay, so what did he actually sign? What did this law say?
Don't ask, don't tell goes away when the president, the Secretary of Defense, and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff say that the DOD is ready to implement. And they have a 60-day window following that to make the implementation happen. So with only in a best-case scenario, that timeline would be first quarter of next year, could be longer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now what will it take to certify? What are they certifying?
Well, they have to examine a lot of stuff. You know, you have to think how big the DOD is and how many policies and regulations and procedures and forms they have. I know it sounds kind of bureaucratic, but there are a lot of things to consider. On top of the list of everyone's mind is how about the legally married couples from states like Massachusetts? You know, and the DOD is very family-oriented in their terms.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we take care of them as dependents? And on the surface, Secretary Gates says, we can't consider them married because DOMA doesn't allow us to consider them to be married. But a same-sex couple who has an adopted child or one of their natural children that they've adopted together, that adopted child does enable the DOD to provide the service member things like housing off base, and now they got to wrestle with, okay, we got a service member who has an adopted child, he's eligible for housing, do we move him on base or do we send him off base?
Well, if this was just a single person, straight or gay, who had a child,
correct,
wouldn't that child be taken care of?
Correct.
So the sexual orientation is irrelevant, isn't it?
It is, with the exception of recognizing a married person. If David and I flew to Massachusetts and got legally married, I can't get him a dependent ID card, which would let him go to the exchange or commissary and shop without me having to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But if I were in the military, I guess I could.
Not for Danny. You could for
Gabrielle.
Well,
no, he's saying because we do have a child.
Right.
So because he has a child and because Danny is on that birth certificate as well as Lauren, then Danny would be able to get a card or should be able to.
That's exactly what they're wrestling with right now. You know,
okay, so it seems clear to me.
No, I'm not enlisting, Dave.
No, not clear that you should enlist, but clear that...
The DOD personnelists and lawyers will sort through it, but they've got things at that level down to forms, the designation of, they call it the red card. It's a card that you write down who you want notified in case of your death.
Mm-hmm.
I could never have put David in there because that would have exposed me potentially.
And you were in, though, when you could have been dishonorably correct. Discharged.
LaRon could put, no, you're not going to put down David. A member cannot put down his significant same-sex other on that notification card with the same address as his mm-hmm. service member without the threat of exposing himself, you know, being a telling action. So now they're changing it so that you can list your non-recognized married partner. Households are defined as people who live together that may not be related. If a spouse or close family member or household member falls gravely ill or passes away, emergency leave is authorized, can be authorized, for the service member to go back and tend to that.
Similar to the Family Medical
right.
Leave Act.
Now, the legally married from Massachusetts couple at least constitute a household. So now... what they have to work out, two sentences probably to implement. How do we do this? We've never done this. Get the word out to all the commanders that, David can fall ill and David can get emergency leave to go tend to it.
And we need to take a break, but again, seems kind of obvious to me. Most people going into the military are 20 years old or younger. And a very obvious thing for people who don't have families to do is to go into the military. And you might have a couple of kids who, you know, at a high school, they needed a place to live. They're sharing a household, and they're not necessarily married. So, you know, this is somebody who's become my family. Seems like it's a whole lot of mind your own business and let us take care of ourselves. We need to take a break. You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM. We'll be back with more with Dave Geiganer right after this.
Next time you search the web, raise money for KNON while you're at it. Now available, it's the new KNON 89.3 toolbar. Add it for free to your web browser, and each time you search the internet, KNON receives a donation. You can shop in more than 1,300 online stores, and a percentage of your purchase will automatically be donated to KNON at no cost to you. The toolbar provides coupons as well. To get your KNON toolbar and open up ways to search and save while supporting great community radio, go to the KNON website at knon.org and get yours now. Pass the toolbar along to all of your friends. The 2 minutes it takes to add this toolbar to your browser can make a difference for KNON. Get the toolbar now at KNON.org.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people.
And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. I'm David Taffet here in the studio with Laron Landis. Little Elf Patty is out having a lovely Christmas in New Orleans with Big Elf Aaron. And our guest today is Dave Guy Gaynor. He's here with his partner, David Guy Gaynor. Does that get confusing for you? Because I've always said I couldn't ever date somebody
even
named David.
Gets confused. That's
oh, okay, good, good.
Monogramming is cheap, though.
Ah. Dave was up in Washington this week for the signing of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell repeal. Barry personally invited him to come to the White House. Was there a reason that you didn't have Barry come back here to be on the show with us?
He was on his way to Hawaii with his family.
Okay.
But I asked him to send me a zip pack from Hawaii, from Zippy's.
Oh, nice. And did he say he would do
some
it?
Some macadamia nuts.
Okay, now, Zoe Dunning, tell us who she is.
Zoe Dunning's one of the current co-chairs of the Service Members Legal Defense Network Board.
And what did she whisper into his ear that made him laugh?
I forgot. You know, it was very arduous for all of the people who worked on the repeal. I heard while I was there, someone said they'd counted up over 200,000 direct action people over the 17 years of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Mm-hmm. And that probably doesn't even count people who are writing about it and people
correct,
who are. Yeah.
Right. I'm talking about.
You're talking about the ones who actually showed up and.
The SLDN, the VER, Task Force, Service Members United, those kinds of folks. Anyway. Zoe, I think, has been hanging around with me too much because as the president was signing it and using the multiple pens, he made the left side of the B with a pen, the top of the B with another mm-hmm. pen, the bottom with another pen. And he actually spelled out his middle name because he had so many pens.
Mm-hmm.
And he got about halfway through his middle name and she leaned over. She says, "Don't you mess up and misspell your name now."
Right. Well, one of the questions we had last week was, since there's about a handful of pending court cases dealing with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I suggest that they might be dismissed now because they're moot, but others are saying no.
And one of them especially is the Log Cabin suit,
right.
Which Log Cabin is saying, no, it's not moot, we're going to go on with this.
Correct. Those cases are still active, and they can be dismissed because the law still exists until it's certified and implemented. So while the wheels of justice turn slowly, one of them could speed up enough to be ruled upon prior to the full implementation. Oh. Will the courts do that? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we filed another suit just last week.
Oh, what was that one?
For reinstatement of an Air Force airman. Since the DOD was so concerned about the potential disruption if a court ruled on this, we just thought we'd let them know that there are thousands of suits that could be filed.
Mm-hmm. Right, talk about disruption.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That really could be disruption. And actually somebody being reinstated, isn't that in itself, anybody being reinstated, a little bit disrupting because you have this person coming in who has this lapse of service, regulations have changed, that person needs to be brought up to speed on certain things. Isn't that in itself somewhat disrupting? Not quite as disrupting as taking somebody who is an expert in some field and saying, okay, you can no longer admirably and successfully perform that, and by the way, we don't have anybody to replace you. Of course, that's much more disrupting.
Absolutely. I would agree with that. If you said, okay, all 14,000 of you go back on active duty, and some of us may have gotten a little chubby. We're not current on Microsoft's latest releases on mm-hmm. servers. Maybe we don't even know what a server is because we were discharged 14 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that could be disruptive. Mm-hmm. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
But also give you that those individuals deserve to be able to be afforded the opportunity to go back on active duty. They deserve to get their full compensation that they got half of when they were discharged under the net.
Oh, there were a number of cases over the years where somebody, how many years is it till you can get a full retirement?
20,
who were discharged at 19 and a half.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about what this is commonly called his mustering out pay, mm-hmm. and that's like your severance pay in civilian mm-hmm. life. If it was $100 for someone being discharged honorably, it was $50 for someone who got a don't ask, don't tell honorable discharge. Mm. So, and we're talking thousands of dollars.
Mm-hmm. You know, when the repeal is finally lifted, because you know you were saying before, not you know those gay and lesbian service members who are currently in, you know, don't come out just yet. You know, still wait. But even when it happens, I don't predict that. Everybody who is gay or lesbian is just going to jump up one day and say, by the way, I am gay. I think they'll probably still go on and live their lives in the military like they have been. And if it happens to be brought up and they feel comfortable telling a fellow service member, they'll say it. But I don't think, do you expect a bunch of people just all of a sudden come out?
Oh, sure. You know, 65,000 of them will pull on tutus or something.
Or according to Ann Coulter, they'll all decorate their rooms and a shrine to Liza Minnelli.
Sexuality should be a private matter. And they should stay the heck out of one's bedroom. And I agree, not a lot of guys are going to jump up and say, hey, I've been a queen all along. I suspect some will because they have partners and they have families and they want those partners and families tended to.
Isn't it more likely, though, that somebody who, let's say somebody who was serving with you Saturday night, and one of them might say, hey, Dave, would you and David like to come out to a movie with us? Do you know what I'm saying? You know, Laurent, there's that panic that all these gay people are going to come out. Didn't most people know that you were gay? Not most people. Didn't most people that you worked with closely know that you were gay?
Yeah.
And don't you think that the big change, the biggest change is going to be that somebody might feel more comfortable saying to you, would you and David like to come out to dinner this weekend?
I think there'll be a great sigh of relief across the world as the U.S. military, both gay and straight, are relieved of this burden of lying mm-hmm. and hiding.
My favorite part of this are all the stories that have come out, especially over the last 6 months, of people serving under a Dutch commander in mm-hmm. Afghanistan who's gay, or somebody serving under a British general who's out there who's gay.
Yeah.
You know, and all of the reports of the problems serving under them, which were none. That's what's really been the interesting part of this, that you know, when people are in the military and they're doing a particular job, their job has nothing to do with gay or straight.
Yeah, out of all of their so-called arguments against lifting repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell from the other side, I have yet to hear any of them say, I haven't heard them say this, that we're not capable of doing the job.
Right, exactly.
I have yet to hear that.
I have a link to a video that was produced by some New Zealand military folks. Stu Pierce sent it to me. Stu was in the British Air Force when the Brits desegregated, mm-hmm. Did away with their version of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, by court order. Stu said he went to sleep one night closeted, woke up the next day and the repeal was gone, and he didn't run out and say, I'm gay. You know, he stuck his head up out of the ground and looked around for a while, to put it in his terms. But they produced a video on what it's like now to be in New Zealand and be out. Mm-hmm. And I'll send you the link for that. You can post it on your
I'd love to see that, and we'll put it on lambdaweekly.com and on our Facebook page so that people can see that. You know, it just seems to me, though, that, you know, Laurent, again, you're saying, are a whole bunch of them going to suddenly come out? And people don't generally suddenly come out, and since most people who are in the military are 18 to 20 years old anyway, the vast majority enlist 18 to 20 years old, and that's the average of when people first even start coming out. And I would think some people who are even confused about coming out, the military is a good place for them because they're probably confused about what they want to do with their life and confused about... That would be a great place for them to even... just get their life together and learn something, get an education, do all those kinds of things that the military is good for, there isn't a sudden coming out. Yeah. Do you think I'm right there?
You just described me and about 2 million other veterans who didn't have a job, who didn't have the money for school, wanted a job, wanted some skills, and joined the military. Mm-hmm. And thought the military would straighten me out, pun intended.
Right, and because you had been thinking, but you realized that it was just you, but it did help you, I guess, find really who you were, and that, yes, I can learn these skills, and yes, I can be the same person without that part of me changing either, because that part's not going to change. It's that part is who I am, and the other things are things that the military can certainly teach me.
The immediate outings, if you were, or coming outs, are going to be the military service members who are in, who have a relationship, a committed relationship, mm-hmm. and those who are already out are going to be recognized.
So do you think this, you know, hysteria that they're talking about, what it's really going to be is...
John McCain's 265,000 will leave.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Right. Well, you know, he's saying 65,000 people are going to leave the military. If you want to leave the military, can you just say, I don't like your policies anymore, so I'm quitting?
No, you have a contract.
Oh, so you have to honor a contract.
If it's in the best interest of the government to let you have that contract, they will. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going back to the 70s, when we were having race rats on our bases, mm-hmm. and we worked very hard to overcome that through what now is known as diversity training, then was human rights training. Mm-hmm. There were people in the first phase of that three-year program that says, I'm quitting, and they quit. Mm-hmm. So there will be some. I can't share a room with a black man. I'm not going to stay.
Don't you think the military, though, was better off not having those people
yes.
defending the country?
And that's another thing I like about implementation. You know, equality language was removed from the bill before it was presented, mm-hmm. The non-discrimination language. And in response to that absence, this implementation plan includes it in their normal EEO channels and education processes, and reminds people that in the military we evaluate on performance, not personal attributes that have nothing to do with the job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, there is one other issue with implementation. Doesn't each branch of the service have to certify that they're ready for implementation?
Yes.
Okay, so is it possible that before the...
They certify to Secretary Gates, Secretary through their chiefs of staff.
Okay, and then Mullen, Secretary Gates, okay.
Right. Mullen, Gates, and Barry.
He's your bud now. He did email you.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah. Okay, so do each of the branches have to certify before anything happens, or can they certify that the Army is ready?
No, they could do that, but that's not the way DOD normally works.
Okay. So they can't certify that everybody except the Marines, which is where the most pushback has been, they can't certify that Army, Navy, and Air Force are ready, but the Marines are not there yet, and we will have a certification for the Marines at a later date. They could do that, but...
I think between Secretary Gates and Admiral Mullen, they'll inspire the Marine Corps to get as time...
And it's called replacing the head of one of the service branches, possibly? Why don't we go to the, because it won't queue up.
And we all know there are no gay Marines at all.
No, there aren't.
Never heard of such a thing.
Why don't we go to the entertainment report?
All right, it's the end of the year. That means that the tops of endless different kinds of lists will be revealed. Here's a new one. The top most Googled gay celebrities of 2010. According to The Advocate, the queen of all media, better known as...
It's Dave Geiger.
It's Dave Geiger.
Right.
You're the queen of all media. Celebrity blogger Perez Hilton came in at number one. I'm a little surprised with that. Followed by Adam Lambert, Ellen DeGeneres, Elton John, and Ricky Martin. But I'm sure maybe...
So they prepared the list before last week.
I guess so.
Apparently.
That's
yeah,
right. Apparently. And mentioning Mr. Martin, the singer says that though his two 20-year-old boys were born through surrogacy, he will more than likely adopt the next time he has a child. Back in 2007, Ricky stated that he liked to adopt a child from every continent. That's a lot of kids for a single man. But hey, he's got the money for nannies. Ricky also celebrated his 39th birthday.
Is there some jealousy there going on? But
No jealousy at all.
Having seven kids, but for the nanny part of it.
You know, I really wouldn't want a nanny. I like being hands-on.
Oh, okay.
It's been rumored that George Michael will be spending much more time in America in the new year because of his new job as a judge on The X Factor on Fox Television. Well, Simon Cowell issued a statement saying that he won't be a judge. I guess they speculated because they saw them two hook up with a meeting or something like that. But some speculate that George won't be a judge, probably because he will have difficulty securing a work permit because of his drug possession and driving under the influence conviction in England.
And other convictions here.
That's right. And last, Lady Gaga has been named the biggest GLBT ally, according to several GLBT publications. And if you don't think she isn't, Senator Harry Reid did tweet her right after the repeal was revealed. She's been very vocal, big time.
Lobbied Congress.
So I thought she was deserving of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do too.
Here. For all her wackiness, she does have a serious side.
Uh-huh. Okay, so who are the biggest celebrities who came out this year? Ricky Martin.
I can't think of any other that we were actually surprised about.
Well, others that we were surprised about. We weren't surprised about him either. Anyway, we're talking to Dave Guy Gaynor. He just got back from Washington, D.C. We keep calling it, it was an invitation from the White House. Right. The signing ceremony wasn't actually in the White House.
No, the group was large enough that they had an auditorium at the Department of the Interior on C Street, which is adjacent to the Lincoln Memorial, which I thought was really nice.
That is a nice, appropriate location for something like that.
It really wasn't until I got to the airport that after the signing that I realized it was real. I was telling you earlier that I mm-hmm. thought I was in some coma where I was dreaming happy dreams. And there are too many coincidences that mm-hmm. happened.
Tell us what they were.
One of the co-founders of SLDM, Dixon Osborne, it was his birthday, the day that the Senate voted. It was our anniversary. My room number in D.C. for the signing was room 612. That's my birthday.
Oh, wow.
I was like, this is too strange. Too strange.
Well, I'll pinch it. You're not dreaming.
Yeah, so all these things happened. They came together. It actually did happen. Last week was actually an amazing week for Congress. You never expected this many votes, especially in the Senate, for it, did you?
No, I didn't. I was very disappointed when the DREAM Act failed just before Don't Ask, Don't Tell came up. And that concerned me because I thought they were warming up with no votes.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't expect this many votes. I knew we had 60. I knew we had 60.
But to get to 65, right. I was pretty shocked, too.
Right.
And those who switched over, Senator Snow, Voinovich,
mm-hmm.
those are neat people.
Those are people who should be leading the party, not brand new senators coming in who were elected as extremists and elected to be extremists. But
well, I know we need to take a break, but when we come back, I want to talk about the efforts to repeal the repeal.
Okay.
And we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
The KNON Morning Line is your chance to be informed of national issues and take part in local events. Listen and call in Monday through Thursday starting at 7 a.m. You can find an open forum for your voice to be heard on the Voice of the People. KNON 89.3 FM.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM HD1 in Dallas and Fort Worth, the Voice of the People.
It's time for
Those Darn Heterosexuals.
According to the business plan, Bible.com, it was to be governed by Christian principles and to become very, very profitable. So heterosexual shareholder James Lockean applied Christian principles
I filed a lawsuit against the company for not making more money.
You thought our insurance companies were bad. Greece's largest insurance provider announced it would no longer pay for special shoes that diabetics often wear to reduce pain. Instead, they would pay for amputation.
Wow. Here's how Russia's heterosexual finance minister is helping solve their economic crisis. He suggested that if you smoke and drink more, the taxes will help the government. This is the quote. If you smoke a pack of cigarettes, that means you're giving more to help solve our social programs. Alcohol abuse in Russia already kills 500,000 people a year. And that's this week's
Those Darn Heterosexuals.
We're talking Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Dave Guy Gaynor just got back from the repeal signing for Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Don't pursue, don't harass, don't do all these horrible things, although nobody has ever been prosecuted for harassing, pursuing, asking, doing that part
don't
of it.
Don't ever take a shower.
Right. Well, you know, and one of the points, though, you say that when you were on the show last time, you did point out that barracks right now are not Gomer Pyle-style barracks, that people have their own private showers, yeah. So that the whole who you're showering with is a John McCain myth. It's what he lived with when he was in the military, because he was in the military in the 60s when Gomer Pyle was made. But that's not what military barracks are like now. They've actually, on these bases, they're not 70-year-old facilities. They're facilities that have been updated.
Correct. And also, you mentioned Gomer Pyle. I'll mention our Gomer from East Texas, who refers to the high incidence of what he called bunk crawlers in the military, crawling from one bunk to another. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one and two-man rooms today. It's not the Gomer Pyle barracks of the past.
Right.
I shouldn't disrespect Gomer by using that reference.
Right, and after all, Gomer Pyle was gay, or is gay.
Right. And was a Marine.
Right.
Well, not to rain on the parade of this incredible victory, but I think it is worth mentioning that, you know, there are still some crybabies and who just can't accept the fact that this has been repealed. And they are some efforts have been made to repeal the repeal. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, the first one was Senator McConnell. While we were gathering in Washington for the signing the next day, he was on the floor offering an amendment to the spending bill to negate the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, mm-hmm. standalone bill. But he couldn't do it unless there were no objections. And, of course, our great Democrat, Republican, Independent Senator Lieberman was there to stop that objective.
Yeah, and to be fair on him, he has been on our side on this issue since day one.
He has been.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of meetings, of course, with Senator Lieberman, and back when we were trying to decide who would introduce the Senate bill, we knew we were getting to that point. I thought he was begging and pleading to be the one to introduce it, to be on the bill. So he was a co-sponsor with Senator Levin. Senator Kennedy had wanted to do it prior mm-hmm. to his death, but he was afraid that his past may interfere with this. So he also supported Senator Lieberman mm-hmm. doing it.
Scott Brown voted with us, though, didn't he? Yeah, so this was like the first vote that Scott Brown voted the way Kennedy would have voted.
Correct.
And I'm saying that facetiously, but I'm also saying it half seriously. I think this is the first time that he actually has voted like somebody from Massachusetts would expect their senator to vote.
He didn't vote with us the first go around.
Right. No, this last vote was the first time, I think, that he has voted the way voters from Massachusetts would expect their senator to vote. I'm wondering if, in a way, this will be a good vote for certain senators, that they'll see, oh, I actually get support from my state when I support something popular and don't just do something that's partisan.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. And I think, again, the lobbying that was done, the actual phone calls and actual letters, not the organizational email blasts mm-hmm. like we use.
Nobody looks at those.
The actual phone calls and letters and visits, I think, are what turn those people around. Mm-hmm. There's nothing like hearing from actual people, besides "Hi, I'm Dave Gaynor from SLDN." Mm-hmm. That had some weight, but not.
Not the same weight as "Hi, I'm Laron Landis," and
right, exactly. Right.
And hearing from him. Okay, and speaking of SLDN, okay, so Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the repeal is signed. It's going to take certification, and then after certification, 2 months to implement, because it takes 2 months to stop discharging people, to stop not doing something or something like that. But 2 months later, it will be implemented, and the new regulations will come in. First of all, what happens to SLDN then? Will it still have work to do?
Well, we'll still have work to do.
What I'm types sure. of things?
Well, we have to clear up our cases, make sure that they actually resolve either by military action that they're going to nuke somebody. either the military resolves them, DOD resolves them on their own, or if we have to keep pushing them through court. And, you know, I'm afraid that harassment is not going to stop or will really crank up. So we'll be around to monitor that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also looking, we're a very singular organization in focus, and we're looking at other issues that affect the military. So what's for an announcement after transition?
After transition. So there will be an announcement, and that is something that your organization has been thinking about then.
Oh, yeah.
What happens to us after? And you said it's a singular organization. There isn't another organization doing the same parallel work, like for the rights of women in the military, is there?
Not really, and there's no one addressing transgendered issues in the military. Well, we have TAVA. I take that back. There are organizations, but those issues are not being addressed. And I think this domino fall of Don't Ask, Don't Tell will help with those to come to the mm-hmm. surface, even if the DOD does it on their own. In the case of our T brothers and sisters, that's a... those are medical regulations that they fall under. They weren't included in Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can you talk a little bit about what this means as far as what is allowed as far as conduct in the military, sexual conduct? Has that changed or has that not changed with this repeal?
I'm laughing here. I guess we won't have to hide in the showers anymore. one thing that's in the implementation plan is the elimination of Article 125 of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, which is their version of the justice system. And Article 125 addresses sodomy.
Mm-hmm.
And Article 125, the DOD personnelists have recommended that it be pulled. Eliminated for a long time. This implementation does away with that. That article would have weighed over us in our community, and it still weighs over the straight community of the military. So it goes away, and the bad parts of forced sodomy and sodomy with a child will move then over to the article that deals with rape.
We're probably, I mean, when you say forced, isn't the bad part of that problem the forced part in the first place?
That's rape either way you
well,
look
yeah,
at it.
Well, yeah, that's what I was saying. It'll be recognized as rape, forcible rape.
Mm-hmm. Now, forcible rape, we're kind of laughing about it. Isn't that kind of serious? But isn't that one of the major complaints that women in the military have, that this force of... You know, the pressure that they get constantly from men in the service.
I would think more so harassment.
Harassment, yeah.
And you're saying, I'm talking about actual, there are plenty of cases that are reported of rape, but also harassment is another thing. Now, that harassment, is that something that maybe SLDN will start concentrating on, many of these harassment cases, and even expanding beyond just against gays and lesbians?
Correct. And that's part of the monitoring, the oversight, if you will, of the watchdog agency
mm-hmm.
To make sure that these implementations are happening. You know, when Don't Ask, Don't Tell was implemented, over the years, I mentioned before that we had incidents where people were being pursued.
Mm-hmm.
Lackland Air Force Base. DOD asked SLDN to go to Lackland and determine for them why they had such a high incident of discharges in their basic training unit. So we did that. So those are the kinds of things that, with a much more improved relationship with the DoD, that we're available to do.
Well, and while SLDN's main focus has been defending members who'd been who were threatened to be discharged or afterwards on what their discharge was, like some of them might have been given a general discharge, should have been just a good conduct discharge. Lots of groups are around that are that work well with other agencies, and sometimes you just become the go-to group.
Right.
You have sitting in front of you a stack of pages that are, that's about a half an inch thick, that are all the military changes
right.
going on, all the things that they had to consider. So while most people were saying, most people on our side were saying, what do they have to study? Just stop releasing people. They really were considering, they were saying, yeah, that's just the tip of it. There are all these different things we need to consider, and those are it. If that's what they've actually come up with, once real-life situations come along, aren't other things going to come up
yes.
that it's good to have a
right.
go-to group?
You're right. It will remain that, hopefully, while other organizations like the American Veterans for Equal Rights, who is a certified veterans services organization, while they begin worrying about the benefits and the things that go along with veterans, we'll be worried about Airman Schmerdley, whose boss says you can't be gay and be in the military. He just didn't get the memo.
Mm-hmm.
So working with Airman Schmerdley to make sure that his rights and freedom to serve are protected. So
mm-hmm.
it's not like we're folding up tent next week.
Well, and we're laughing a little bit about the person who didn't get the memo. While he might have heard that he can't be discharged, and hopefully he would have, he might not have heard that this person who serves under him is actually eligible for off-base housing
right.
so that he and his partner can raise their child.
Adopt the child, correct.
So that when he's transferred overseas, that his partner now maybe has a right to visit or to... to be the person who's listed in case something happens to him, or give me some of the others. I'm giving these off
well,
of top of my head.
Another one that comes to mind is when the Resource Center began teaching their diversity classes to TABC offices. TABC had asked for them. I told Raphael McDonald it was like show and tell.
Mm-hmm.
Bring us a local gay or lesbian to the class
mm-hmm.
so we can see him. And all of us folks, ex-military folks, generals, colonels, chiefs, lieutenants, captains, sergeants, are still available to assist in that training.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind at all going out to the Joint Base and saying, I'm one.
Mm-hmm. And you served for how long?
23 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We're coming up on the end of the show, but before the show, I was kind of complaining to David about something that I won't
always.
Go into over the air.
Always, always.
But I was saying that I think this is like the biggest victory our community has ever seen on a national level. We've had some victories in different regions and different states, but on a national level, this is the biggest victory for the GLBT community. And you talked about the domino effect earlier.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see maybe coming after this? I think this will spread to so many other areas. You know, we still, of course, there's always the marriage fight, but even simple as ENDA, mm-hmm. you can still be fired on a national level for being gay or lesbian.
I think first off, we need to maintain the relationship that we've had with the 30 or 40 or so different organizations that have been engaged in this battle. We've had a conference call for about 7 years called Freedom to Serve Roundtable. It started out with SLDN and HRC and Stonewall, and then it grew and included PFLAG, the People from American Way, Log Cabins, Boat Vets, and it grew and grew and grew. And that in that one monthly phone call, we could share what each organization was doing and plug each other together to help with different causes. So we need to keep our focus on that unity that mm-hmm. we have at this moment.
Yeah.
And don't become the old fighting group that we used to be.
Mm-hmm.
We need to maintain unity. And I see DOMA and DOMA probably being the next battle, and that's going to help. The DOD will help us with that. and followed by Enda. I think those are real things that can happen. And if you read my rant in the Voice from the other night, don't tell me we can't do something in 2 years. If we didn't believe that we could make it happen this year, this would not have happened. We wouldn't be having this happy talk today. A month ago, people were saying, no, it's not going to happen.
That's true.
And you were having nightmares that it wasn't going to happen, too.
That's right.
Yeah. But, you know, as you pointed out, the Department of Defense is the largest employer in the United States, period. And even bigger than Walmart. So, but it is the largest employer, and this is basically an employment non-discrimination issue.
Exactly.
And they got this passed without a whole lot of, I mean, yeah, I know all the arguments that went on, but I'm talking about from the public. I'm not talking about in Congress. A bigger argument in Congress than there was among the general population. 70-80% believe, sure, gay people want to serve in the military, let them serve in the military. Who's it going to hurt? And you know, and really, who's it going to help? It's going to help all of us if we have a larger pool of people, of good people to choose from. But it's basically employment non-discrimination. I think the next thing that's going to come up, and it'll be easier to vote on now, especially after implementation, is employment non-discrimination as just a general law, which is important and helps every single gay and lesbian person, as opposed to marriage, which helps LeBron, but which helps people.
They're married too.
Yeah, you're married too, right? Okay, so I'm outnumbered. Well, Jennifer's in the studio with me right now. Jennifer's not married, but it helped. That would certainly help married couples, but this certainly helps everybody.
Right.
Dave, I want to thank you for being with us. Congratulations on your win.
Our win.
It is our win, but boy,
everybody's win.
But boy, did you work on it for years. And now we need to make sure that you don't just retire from help because
No. We have bullying to take care of.
We do. And next week our guest is she wrote a book. Why am I completely banked? She wrote a book 708 questions that it's okay to ask your gay best friend, and I have the name of the book wrong, but that's basically what it is. I've spoken to her. She's a lot of fun to talk to.
Well, check us out on Facebook, and he'll have it cleared up.
And we're going out with music from?
Michael Jackson.
Ooh. Oh. Don't last forever.
Oh,
so tell me what we're waiting for. We better off being together.
Oh,
being miserable alone.
Oh, cause I've been there before and you've been there before, but together we can be alright.
Yeah.
When it gets dark and when it gets cold, we hold each other till we see the sun.
Yeah,
we'll be together.
Yeah.